In this week's episode, Jenny Stone and Katie Singer provide an update on the current status of McLeod and RPSS statements. They're also going to discuss what to do if you've received a letter from NHS Pensions or email from PCSE. This will be regarding missing information on your pension record, which is preventing them from being able to issue an RPSS.
Accountancy on Prescription by RBP, one of the leading firms of medical specialist accountants. We know what you find tough, but don't you worry, as we know our stuff.
Hello and welcome to this week's episode of Accountancy on Prescription. I'm Jenny Stone, one of the partners at RBP, and I'm joined by my lovely partner Katie Singer today. And we are going to be doing another update on McLeod. I feel like, Katie, we're going to be doing these all year. It seems to be constantly changing. But how are you, Katie?
I'm good. I'm very humbled that you said lovely there in the introduction. A lovely warm, introduction. Yes, I have been 3 or 4 months ago, we were eating, sleeping, breathing. I think we'll probably put a link to our previous RPSS as a reminder in the show notes. All we were doing was RPSS cloud remedy submissions. And now they're rearing their ugly heads again, aren't they, Jenny?
I know. And all the issues that are going with it. So we thought it would be useful just to do another update, just as where we're at. So we're recording this in April. We did file, I don't know the numbers off the top of the head, but we filed quite a number of RPSSs and digital tools to HMRC by the 31st of January deadline. Just to say, which I think we've mentioned already before, that there is now kind of no official deadline. There was this 31st of January 2025 deadline, but as NHS Pensions couldn't get the data to you, there isn't really an official deadline anymore. So it's as and when you get your RPSS, send it to us. Katie, shall we just talk through kind of what we've done and where we're at so far with ones that we've submitted and sort of how we've got on with that?
Yes, as you said, I reckon, and this is, we don't actually know, but back of an envelope calcs, I reckon we've had, or the ones that we submitted by the January deadline as requested, was about a quarter of the ones that we were expecting. It actually might be less, because when we were doing our preliminary planning for the people listening, we just assumed it would only be sent to individuals that potentially were affected. We had a lot of remedial statements, and as some of you will know if you are listening and we've already done this process for you, some people got a statement and actually the remedy wasn't necessarily applicable for them, but you got a remedy statement anyway. So actually we don't quite know the numbers, but if we assume only one quarter of the ones we were expecting came to us that we were able to process by the end of Jan, that's another three quarters to go. So it's actually a much bigger chunk than we were expecting, and really goes to show how complex and difficult and challenging this process has been for NHS Pensions and HMRC, because clearly they didn't allow themselves enough time to be able to get all this together. So some updates since we submitted in January. We have now been informed, which wasn't made clear to us at the time. So some of you who are listening, you would have received notification from us that there were some increases in some years for your charges. Many of you would have already done scheme pay elections, and those scheme pay election forms would have been already sent in and processed, and they were stated on your documents. However, this isn't applicable if there's been a decrease, but if there's been an increase, we need to process you a new scheme pay election form, and that new scheme pay election form needs to be sent in to NHS Pensions and processed. So in the coming weeks, again, as Jenny just said, there isn't actually an imminent deadline for this, but in the coming weeks, you will be receiving amended scheme pay election forms. Please do read them, print them, sign them, and send them off. And please CC us or your tax manager when you do so, so that we have proof of submission. So that's just an additional piece of administration that we didn't realize we needed to do because it wasn't made clear. Again, it's not for decreases, it's only for increases.
Yeah. And I think, Katie, some of the RPSSs and digital tools I've dealt with this week, when I've emailed the clients and we say to you, this is an increase of what was basically originally submitted, and I'm sending them a new scheme pay forms, and one of the queries I'm getting is, why is the scheme pay form different to the increase in the email? So just to be clear, when you get the email from us, we're only telling you whether the change following the McLeod remedy is an increase or decrease to what was originally there. But we have to do a brand new scheme pay form for the full tax charge. So those numbers are going to be different. And yeah, we had thought that the guidance always about HMRC would inform NHS pensions, but it sounds like HMRC are only going to inform NHS pensions where there's decreases in scheme pays, not increases. And therefore, that's why we're having to do the new form.
And when we sent off those submissions in January, we sent them via email. So we were all very excited, weren't we, Jen, on our first submission, sitting over our lovely secretary, Susie, and it popped off to the email address and she got an automated reply back and we were very excited. And then the second one went and nothing came back. So once you've had, as most of you know, when you send an email to somebody, once you've had that first automated reply, you don't ever get another one. So we were sending all of our submissions in. We received nothing back. So we were in limbo. We didn't really know what was going on. I know personally, I've had one of my clients has been calling up and trying to find out what's going on. Hers went in before the end of January deadline and hasn't been processed yet. And we're now recording on the 24th of April. I believe she was told that it's a 90-day turnaround.
Yeah.
We're talking about cutting it quite fine, but clearly HMRC have not processed them yet either.
I was going to say, I've not had any clients come to me to say that they've heard anything. And we don't know what you're here. We don't know whether you'll get a letter from HMRC to say, yes, we've processed your RPSS. We've notified NHS of the scheme pay changes. If there's decreases or, you know, we're going to issue you a refund, we don't know yet. So we would hope, like you say, we submitted quite a number before 31st of Jan deadline. You would hope that certainly in the next month or so, clients will be going, oh, I've had a letter or they've heard something. So at the moment, we've submitted it all, the ones we've done, but we haven't heard anything further. So there's been all these delays with NHS pensions not being able to get your RPSSs. And then there was talk that there was going to be a big batch going out in Feb. And February, Katie, we were waiting excitedly for those batches and they never came. So we have had some new sets of batches come out to us. So we have had some more being sent out. So I think some of them were dated for the end of March, beginning of April. So again, just a reminder, if you get an RPSS statement, please email it to info@rbp.co.uk, because I had a client, we sent out an email reminder to say to people, if you get one, please send it to us. And I had a client email me and say, oh, Jenny, I got it in October and I just filed it. So just to remind people that we need that information to be able to do the digital tool.
Yeah. And there's no, like Jenny said earlier, there's no penalty. There's no late interest charges. There isn't anything that any of us have been made aware of. Say you did get it in October and you accidentally forgot to send it to us and we're only processing it now. When we send the data off to HMRC, they don't request for the date on the front of the letter. We ask for it so that we can be organised and plan in the order to do them, but they don't actually know. So there isn't going to be a penalty on that side. So don't panic. I had a couple as well that said to me, oops, sorry, Katie, I completely forgot to send you this. It's fine. Don't worry too much if you did miss that deadline of 31st of January. There was one thing I was going to quickly say, though, about when we were talking about clients that we've already processed for. The compensation forms, they are being processed very quickly. So yes, if you've paid our fee, do send that compensation form off because you will get a reimbursement almost straight away. I mean, most of our clients have been saying that when they send it off, they're notified that it will take up to 30 days, most are within a week. So just so you are aware, I know it's inconvenient to have to pay the fee and then wait for the reimbursement, but it is a very quick turnaround. So do make sure you're doing that. And do make sure you're downloading the forms from the virtual cabinet cloud that we're sending it to. Because in the last couple of days, I've had about 6 emails come back to me saying, the client you sent this document to has not read it. So if you haven't read it, I don't know how you would have done your compensation form. So please make sure you do that because you are entitled to receive this money back to you in full, plus a very small amount of interest. It works out between £5 and £10. So do make sure you do that.
Yeah, no, agree, Katie. I was quite surprised because they are paying interest from the date you paid our fee to the date they actually process the compensation. So you get kind of the full reimbursement of our fee and the interest. So I think that's probably all we need to say for the kind of current RPSSs that are going on. But I think we've now got a new process to deal with the RPSSs. So a number of our clients a few weeks ago got letters from NHS Pension Agency saying to them that they are unable to produce a remedial savings statement because there is missing data. So this NHS Pensions letter just says that. It doesn't tell you what information is missing. It just says you've got missing information and you've got to basically sort it out. So any clients that have had those and you forwarded them on to us, we've put together a kind of process that you need to do to get your record sorted. And then Katie, you had a client that sent you an email that they've had from PCSE, which again is just basically saying, NHS pensions have informed us that they can't produce an RPSS statement because your pension record is not up to date. And then it's telling you steps to go through about trying to sort out your record. What is really unhelpful in both of these letters, emails that clients are getting is nowhere does it tell you what is missing. So it doesn't say to you, they've not been able to update your record because 2019-20 is missing. So we've been kind of going, you know, the first step is kind of trying to identify what is actually missing. I've been sort of saying to clients, look, call NHS pensions and actually ask them what years are missing so that you know where your starting point is. And then if you know what year's missing, then obviously you can make a kind of decision about, okay, well, what do I need to do? Is it a certificate I need to do?
Yeah. So for most clients who are listening, we will have done most of the certificates that are missing. Clients constantly say, Katie, I don't understand. It's saying it's missing. Why did you not submit it for us? We did. We assure you we did. And lots of you who are listening will know that we have submitted year on year on year the same certificates because you directly get the CAS reference when it's been submitted. But even though we submit it outside, we have to use your email addresses. And so you get the confirmation that it's been sent. And they still say to you, no, you haven't submitted it. So we do have them here. So just once you do find out, if you know, for example, like Jenny said, it's just year 1920 missing. Excellent. Let me know. We'll resubmit it. Lots of you will get those emails directly from PCSE, which look like a little table. It's like it comes as a little box format and it says like, we couldn't process your certificate because the employees or the employers were wrong or this one's missing or that one's missing. Anytime you get any of those emails, I mean, we are burdened with them, but just make sure you do just forward them straight to us because once we get them in, we can process them and get them out as quick as we can.
Agreed. And I think with PCSE's email, what it talks you through to do is it says you need to log on to your PCSE online. So you have to log into your record and see what years of certificates are listed. Now, when we log on for practices, we can just see the partners and we can see the certificates. But obviously, if you've been a partner, a salary GP, there are different certificates that you need. So if you're a salary GP in any year, you should have completed a type 2 certificate. So if you click on to your PCSE record and you look at all your certificates and you look at what it says, if you know, oh, 2018-19, I was a salary GP and there's nothing listed there as a certificate, you then have got to go, well, did I do a type 2 certificate or did I never do it and I need to do it? Or did RBP do it and we need to submit it? One of the things we've always talked about is our partners that we act for and we do practices, we are always keeping on top of your certificates. Every year we're going, right, have they all been processed? We resubmit missing ones. I think the biggest issue is anytime that anybody's been a salary GP, a lot of salary GPs are not fully aware that they are supposed to be doing a type 2 certificate every year. So we might have taken on a client because they've become a partner in a practice and we might have dealt with their current year certificate, their current year type 2, but you might not have done type 2 certificates for previous years when you may not have had an accountant and you were doing your tax return yourself. So I think what you've got to first of all establish, I think what's really key is find out what years are actually missing because none of the information you get from PCSE or NHS pensions tells you that. So you don't even know where you're starting from. Then you need to kind of go, okay, that year, what was I doing? Was I a partner? Did RBP complete my certificate? Let us know. We'll resubmit it. Was I salary GP? Did RBP complete it? We'll submit it. If not, did I do one? You know, we've got to kind of break down and establish whether there are missing certificates that just need to be resubmitted. We do have lots of instances where I feel like we submit certificates and they go into a black hole and they never seem to get processed. Have you done the certificates? You know, even if we didn't act for you at the time of a year, missing year, but we are acting for you now and you need a type 2 certificate, let us know. We can help deal with that for you. So the missing certificates, again, identify the years that missing, look at what type of certificate was needed and contact us and let us know. And then we can help you with that. Katie, I've had a number of clients where they got this email and I went back to them and I said, look, can you call NHS Pensions and ask what years are missing? And when they've called, because like, for example, if they've been a partner and I know all their certificates are up to date, when they've called, they've been told they've got open employment records. So this seems to be a common theme that we are getting clients come back and tell us that NHS Pensions have an open employment record for a surgery. And so if that's an open record, they are expecting some employment data. Now, I've had 3 clients so far that have got open employments that basically they're not employed at. They ended, but an end cease date was never put into the system. So all their actual pension information is correct. These employment records just need to be closed off. So this seems to be a common problem. And so what we're kind of saying to people is if you've got an open employment, you're going to need to contact PCSE about that open employment and give them kind of what the leave-in dates are. But again, I think, Katie, the only way they can do this is by raising it as an inquiry, because so you've got to then create an inquiry, say, these are my open employments, these are my leave-in dates, and then you've got to wait for PCSE to deal with it. So just be aware that it could be that all your pension information is actually there. It's an open employment that shouldn't be open, that's actually delaying this whole process.
And actually, this document that my client was sent, the one from PCSE, at the very bottom, it says, essentially, we're hoping if you do all the things that we've listed in the steps above, i.e. going online, checking your statement, checking your certificates, checking everything, and everything is in order and you've submitted anything that's missing, it says, we expect to complete a review of your record by the end of June. So expect is quite a loose term. I know I didn't mention it earlier, but when we were expecting to get RPSSs back in February, I was so frustrated, Jenny. I actually found a Freedom of Information Act email address for NHS Pensions and I emailed it. I was at my wit's end and I basically said, can we please have an update on when individuals are expecting to get RPSS statements? And I was very impressed. I did receive a response the very next day and it said, we are very sorry, we're expecting them to come out by the end of February. However, now our expectation is end of March. And lo and behold, they did start coming out end of March, beginning of April. So we know already that there were, even from February, there were delays to March, April.
Yes.
This PCSE document says we expect June, but we know that there's no way it's going to be June. I anticipate, based on previous experience with PCSE and processing, that this is very likely to not be done until late summer, even into the autumn. And then the information has to be passed from PCSE to NHS Pensions. So we are talking about a big chunk. Like I said, we had 25% of our RPSSs in before Jan. I reckon, Jen, we've had probably another 25% in the last batch. Oh,
maybe. I don't know. I still feel like we haven't had that many.
I think we've probably had another 25%. But those numbers, for those of you who are very astute at maths, if we've had 25% and 25%, we've still got another 50% to come in. And these we don't expect now based on these numbers. They're probably not going to start trickling in until September, October, November. We are talking about a whole year after they were originally supposed to come out to you.
And there was a headline, Katie, that apparently that, and again, I don't know where this number comes from, but 56% of GP pension records are not up to date due to missing information. So it's GPs because of PCSE, the processing of certificates. That has caused a massive issue. And I know when clients I've got that are looking to take their pension, take their retirement, and then there's always issues. And it's always, unfortunately, falls down to, you know, the processing at PCSE. And I agree with you, Katie. That email said we would review it in June. And I'm thinking, we're near the end of April now. There's no way, you know, because if 56% of GPs' pension records have missing data, that's an awful lot of people that are now going to be submitting certificates, doing any ones that were never done, calling up, emailing to say, I've got an open employment, please close it. So Yeah, I mean, we've joked, haven't we, Katie, that we think we're going to be dealing with McLeod for the next 5 years because it just seems to be. We kind of thought it was all going to be done and dusted for some reason. I don't know why we thought it was all going to be done and dusted by January.
We're optimists, but we really should know this game by now. That when you're dealing with, I think the issue is we're dealing with three organisations. We're dealing with HMRC, we're dealing with NHS Pensions, we're dealing with PCSE. It's three different organisations. Granted, NHS Pensions probably not so much so, but difficult to get hold of. You know, it's very difficult to communicate with PCSE. The only real way of doing it is raising a complaint. It's almost impossible to just call up and speak to somebody who can actually help you with your personal situation. So that, of course, adds weeks and months. If you're just doing something by raising an email complaint, that goes into a order of a million other email complaints. And that's what's taking so long. So for those of you who are hopeful that this whole process, well, for us, basically, we're hopeful that this process will be done and dusted relatively soon. It won't be. And this will, like Jen just said, will drag on quite a long time. So that's why we're saying, please don't worry about the deadlines. Please don't worry about any dates. And if your letter doesn't come to you until October, it's fine. NHS Pensions, HMRC, they are aware of all of these delays.
But I think what's really, really important, and we've always stressed this, is if you've got an email from PCSE to say your pension record's not up to date, or a letter from NHS Pensions to say they can't produce your RPSS, you need to action. You need to not just ignore it. Because I know whenever I talk to clients, I've taken on new clients before, and they go, oh, Jenny, I didn't do my certificates. I know this is a mess. And everybody dreads the thought of trying to deal with sorting their pension out because they've got to deal with PCSE. And so there's this big dread. It's a task I don't want to do, but it's a task now that really needs to be done. So if you're somebody listening going, oh, I know my pension's a mess, I've got to sort it out, I've put it off. We've got to get it sorted now, because this does have a massive impact on if, you know, in the next few years, you want to take your pension. So we do need to get it sorted. What I would say is, as I said, clients that have emailed us about the PCSE email, the NHS pensions, we've got an email that we're sending out to you that gives you a list of actions. So, you know, email in to us to say, look, I've had one of these, what do I need to do? We'll send you on that email just to give you a list of what we need you to do. But as I said, come back to us with what's missing, and then we can kind of go, yeah, we've done those certificates, we'll resubmit them, or no, these don't appear to be done. Have you had another accountant do them? Or we can help and we can deal with them for you. Just one other thing that we've also noticed is if you've opted out, so I had a client that had actually opted out, and NHS Pensions was saying there was missing information for that year, but they had opted out for that full year. So again, somewhere the communication between PCSE, where you submit your opt-out information to, and NHS Pensions had broken down. And so again, this client didn't get an RPSS because NHS Pensions, as far as they were concerned, I think it was 2021, there was no earnings figure listed, but actually the client had opted out. So again, when you call NHS Pensions and they tell you the years that are missing, if any of those you know you opted out for the full year, just say to them, but I was opted out, because again, I think that might be on PCSE's record, but I don't know whether it is being properly flowed through to your NHS record. So if NHS Pensions don't get their information, they are just going to be expecting an earnings figure, you know, following the processing of a certificate. So I think call NHS Pensions, find out what's missing, kind of just ask yourself for each of those years, was I opted out for the full year? If so, notify them. Is there a certificate that's missing? If so, let us know. And then we can try and try and help resolve this. Katie, I don't know whether there's anything else you can think of. I feel like we'll be recording McLeod updates
forever.
Forever as well.
Yeah, I mean, obviously, we appreciate all of your frustrations because we know that a lot of you are looking to get information on your pensions. And I've got a couple of clients who have actual missing records where NHS Pensions doesn't have them as individuals. So money's going out of their practice accounts every month, you know, deducted because they're a partner in a practice, and it's going into the abyss, and their record is incomplete. It's not even incomplete. It doesn't exist. So there are some real issues. But I am really hopeful that this whole exercise, whilst it's laborious and it's long and it's taking a lot of time, once this is all done, PCSE, NHS Pensions will have a clean slate to start with. And then they will only be doing 1 year, and they will hound you year on year. And it should be, I hope, a much more streamlined process going forward for the future.
Yeah, I think we've talked about that a lot. We feel like that this McLeod remedy has actually mean that all of these missing records, everything, there'll be a line sort of drawn under it. You'll know once you've got it sorted that you are sorted and your pension record is up to date.
Yeah.
Right. I think that's all we needed to cover today. So I hope you found this useful. If you're clients of us, then obviously do get in touch on these issues. But thank you for listening to this week's episode. And if you have enjoyed it, then please like and subscribe and share with colleagues that may find this helpful. See you soon. Bye.
Bye.
You have been listening to RBP's Accountancy on Prescription podcast. For any updates, please visit www.rbp.co.uk or follow us on Twitter at rbpca. The contents of this podcast is for general guidance and informational purposes only and does not constitute any form of advice. The information provided by RBP is of a general nature. Appropriate and tailored advice or independent research should be obtained before making any decisions. RBP does not accept any liability for any loss or damage which is incurred from you acting or not acting as a result of listening to Accountancy on Prescription.